The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Right, and this even affects utilitarian thinking, because in the normative ethical theory of utilitarianism, it's like the greatest happiness or well-being for the greatest number of people, and that is what is good. And they say if you increase suffering for the greatest number of people, that's actually bad, right? And we're like, well, okay, well, let's adopt an Islamic form of utilitarianism, if you like. If you add the akhirah, it changes everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's because if you have the correct metaphysical assumptions in place, and we say we do believe in the akhirah, we could prove that's the case as well. But this is very interesting, because if they reject our placation of the harm principle, then the main debate now is not about the law. Because this is very coherent. If we have our own take on the harm principle, and logically it's very similar, but with the correct assumptions concerning the hereafter and so on and so forth, then the debate now has nothing to do with the law, because you can't say it's incoherent from a harm principle perspective. The main debate now is, well, I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in paradise. I don't believe in the Islamic sources that tell us about heaven and hell. Ah, that's exactly where we want you. We want a worldview discussion. And this is one of the beautiful things when you discuss with a liberal or a secular person. If they're sincere, it would always come down to the foundations. If they're not, they'll block you on X, like they did with me, and maybe with you, God knows. So
yeah,
you have people, absolutely. Yeah, they reveal the kind of incoherence, the idiocy, the imprudent understanding.
Be serious. What this does demonstrate, your experience and mine too, of being blocked, or being blocked on X is not the worst thing that can happen to you in life, to be honest. But anyway, what this does demonstrate is not the individual cantankerousness of these people. I think they might be cantankerous. What it really demonstrates to me is actually the fundamental intolerance of the liberal paradigm. The liberalism cannot tolerate any challenges to liberalism. If you have a different paradigm, an Islamic one, and there are other paradigms as well, then they are almost by virtue of that difference illegitimate and must be censored. And liberalism has an authoritarian side to it, and it will suppress. And we're seeing this now in the media in the West, where any political dissent to the prevailing narrative on Israel and Gaza and so on is literally put down, or often brutally, in universities with students and so on. So liberalism has two sides. Is it the Jekyll and Hyde? And at the moment, we're seeing the Hyde more than the Jekyll. And we must always be aware that Elizabeth is not always what it claims to be. It also suppresses any opposition to its fundamental principles. So it's not really just about believing what you like. It's believing what you like as long as you're within this particular paradigm. If not, you have no validity and you will be stopped, in my view.
Nah, standing ovation.
Sit down.
I see. Well, that has to be made into a reel, because that was very eloquent and very powerful. And you're right.
I like to rant occasionally. It comes from Speaker's Corner, you see. I get this kind of...
You know what it is, Paul? You know, Dr. Shabir Akhtar, may Allah have mercy on him, he made a very good point in his book, Be Careful with Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He says something along the lines of, look, liberalism and secularism, there's a boundary to its tolerance. It's not a boundless tolerance. Yeah. And what it does, it only practically accepts minorities and religious minorities as liberalized and secularized versions of themselves.
Right.
And he argues, well, Muslims are not going to be a subjugated minority. Sorry. We're going to have the most powerful ideological framing. And that's why there's this conflict sometimes in secular liberal societies. There needs not to be. But if liberals were actually true to their so-called tolerance, we can have a really authentic discussion about worldview. But they don't like having that. You know why? Because Paul, from my own research, liberalism is foundations is on sand, right? It doesn't have, because fundamentally it was a reaction to the Catholic Church. It was a reaction to
explicitly. If you read the high priest of liberalism, secularism, John Locke, and you read his book on a letter on tolerance, or the Second Treatise of Government, which I both read, it is explicitly to do with these religious wars in a European, English context. Where you had the Catholics and Protestants literally killing each other for centuries. It makes sense in that context, I would think. Whether or not you agree with it, it makes a lot of sense. It's not irrational. But to universalize this lesson and make it normative for humanity, for Muslims is completely wrong. I don't think John ever thought of it like that either. It was a peculiarly English solution to English problem. Then exported to the USA, which then incorporated many of its principles into the United States Declaration of Independence. But then it became global through colonization and hegemony. So we're dealing with a misapplication of a particularly Western secular principle that was answering a particular set of historical challenges. It's not meant to be for humanity. I don't think it ever was, but it has become that way, has given itself that normativity. And Muslims are right to protest and say, I'm sorry, we don't have these problems. You know, our Sharia is not a problem. Your history is your problem. Please don't impose your solutions on us. We never had this problem.
Eloquent, very eloquent again. Absolutely. That needs to be made into a short clip and a reel. So I agree. And it's like they have this metaphysical narcissism. Like they project themselves to the whole world and everyone has to be like me and everyone is me. But yeah, so that's the starting point of that first argument concerning the harm principle.